Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Here we go, another episode of Two in the Cooler. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. Just Matthew and I today on the episode. Before we get into it, gotta pay the bills. So here we go, Instacart. There's actually a lot of talk in this episode about how much I hate grocery stores. From the ad into the episode, people love it. That's called synergy, folks. But Instacart, for real, is the best way to get not just groceries, but some of your favorite products from some of your favorite local stores delivered right to your front door in as little as 1 hour. Make your life a little easier. You don't have to go to the grocery store, one of the most terrible places on earth, aside from maybe an airport that shows the absolute worst of humanity. People will run into you, like hit your heel with their carts and not even look at you. Maybe mumble, excuse me, oh, sorry. And then just move on. It's the worst place to be. I hate going to the grocery store. I hate grocery store parking lots because everybody's pushing their freaking carts around. They're not looking. Cars aren't paying attention. Everybody's backing out. It's the worst place to be. You don't have to do that. We're living in the 21st century. There's no reason to go to the grocery store to get your food. All you have to do is use Instacart. Best part is right now, Two in the Cooler listeners get free delivery on their first order of $10 or more. All you have to do is spend 10 bucks, and they will deliver it right to your front door absolutely free in as little as 1 hour. Hit the link in the show description and get yourself that deal. Start using Instacart today. It's going to make your life a lot easier. Also got to mention merch. It's getting chilly outside, which is the kind of weather I like, okay? I love the sweatshirt weather. I wear a sweatshirt like every day, basically, even in the summer, because I'm in air conditioning most of the time. That's beside the point. You have to check out the merch. We've got teespring.com/store/2inthecooler. We've got logo stuff, hashtag pizza tipping, Matt can't read, t-shirts, sweatshirts, whatever you're looking for, okay? Get something nice, get something cozy, something comfortable. It's going to make you look good and feel good. This stuff, guys, I'm telling you, this is not like the regular merch you're getting from other shows where it's that like cheap t-shirt brand that they use because, you know, they can sell it to you for like, you know, 40 bucks or whatever, and they only have to spend like $6 on each shirt because the fabric is so shitty. These t-shirts, tri-blend. Tri-blend material. Think about that for an actual second. Take a second and think about tri-blend material. That's some comfortable shit, folks. That's Target quality merchandise. teespring.com/store/2inthecooler. Check it out. There's a link in the show description. You can use that. Get yourself something nice for the coming chilly months. You're gonna enjoy it for sure. Thank you guys for listening again. Thank you guys for subscribing to the YouTube and following us on Instagram. We appreciate you. All right, that's enough out of me. Here's the episode. Thanks, folks.
Chicken and a corn. And a corn with a goat.
Okay, I was waiting for the rest of it.
No.
Yeah, I feel like...
Shut up.
How are you good? Okay.
Want to know why?
Why?
Because of the whole fucking mint ordeal.
That's...
Andrew's got a jumbo mint in his mouth right now.
It's a regular sized mint.
It is a half dollar sized mint.
It's like, you know, it's like smaller than a quarter, no. But probably bigger than a nickel.
It's a half dollar sized mint, and he goes and he goes to get it out of the package, and I say, "Oh, can I have one of those?" And he says, looks at me and says, "Last one," and puts it in his mouth and throws out the package. This thing is a half dollar size. Could have split it. That's enough mint for two people right there. Yeah, you've been sucking on it for 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's small, but even a little bit bigger than that is still smaller than what you're saying it
no,
is.
No, but it was much bigger. That mint has been in your mouth for at least 15 minutes.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot less than that. No. But even so, you can get your own mints. They sell them everywhere.
Yeah, but you're a mint guy. Everybody has a role.
But it's not my responsibility to give people other mints. I bring the mints for myself, okay? And I'm happy to share them when I've got extra. That just happened to be the last one. That's
your
bad day
role,
for you. That's not my fault.
Your role. I'm not even kidding you. I was getting ready to come here, and I was like, I'm looking forward to a mint today.
Well, usually, you know, I've always got them ready to go.
Yeah, that's why I was looking forward to one. So you let me down today. So that's why
I'm
not
so.
Even happy to be here today.
You're all right.
Nope.
You want to sing one of your songs again? Make you feel a little better?
And you see from my face that I was fucking high.
Do you remember that was like one of the three CDs that I remember Dad playing in his car all the time?
Well, his old band did a cover of it, the We Love Computers and Hate Drugs band.
Decades before that song was even out.
Yeah, they wrote it. Yeah.
And then James Blunt stole it.
Uh-huh.
And this whole podcast is kind of a setup so we can get big enough to meet James Blunt.
And then sue his ass. And fuck you, James Blunt. This is an anti-James Blunt podcast.
Wow, that's
a hot
take.
We hate James Blunt. I'm just kidding. I got no problem with him.
I know. I want to get on board with that, but I do like James Blunt
quite a bit. Well, you can be... We're also an anti... Who?
Yeah, you don't even remember.
Oh, Chris Hemsworth.
You're an anti-Chris Hemsworth.
No, this is an anti-Chris Hemsworth podcast.
Half of it is. Your half
I'm
is
not.
Anti-Chris
I'm not
Hemsworth.
Anti-Chris Hemsworth.
I'm not anti-Chris
you
Hemsworth.
You said,
Matthew,
that you wanted to do an anti-Chris Hemsworth show.
Okay.
So I said, okay, I'll get on board with it. Like, I don't like the idea, but listen, you're the boss. I'll get on board with it.
We do this show for an audience that is supposed to be able to trust us, and here you are lying to them. Look at your face. Look at your face. You can't even... Oh,
I
boy.
I would
gotcha.
Never lie to this audience.
I would never... See, that's classic.
See, I'm a
lying
way better
hands.
Liar
lying
than
hands.
To... No, I'm a way better liar.
Oh, my God. Anybody watching can definitely tell. I bet so much so even the people listening... Yeah, nailed it. Go back
and
to
I
default.
And I can see from your face that you were a piece of shit, Andrew.
Oh.
Can I tell you a story?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can I tell you a story? So, we were on the road this weekend for the hockey team that I coach. And, you know, we had a game. And then after the game, we go to our coaches' meetings and stuff like that. And it was later. At night, we were all the coaches were kind of hungry. So, we're like, all right, we'll go get a bite to eat. We'll have the meeting out. At a restaurant. So we were in a restaurant, and it's in, like, the Pittsburgh area. And, you know, we're just going about our business. And this guy walks in to the restaurant, and at first I'm like, that guy looks kind of homeless. But instantly as this guy walks in, he's, like, buzzing around this restaurant, talking to all the waitresses, going up to different tables, like, and I'm like, is this guy just like, what's going on here? Like, I couldn't, you know, maybe he's just a local that like comes here every Friday night or something. So I tell two of the other coaches, I'm like, what's the deal with this guy? So now two of us are watching him, and the other, like, one of our other coaches is like, stop paying attention to that guy. Like, what is your obsession with this guy? And I'm like, because there's something going on here. Like, if you could see the way that this guy was acting, it was clear that there was something going on here. So time goes on. Like, we order our food. You know what I mean?
And yeah, I've been to restaurants.
Next thing you know, he's talking to more people. He's buying people drinks now. Next thing you know, people are, like, lining up to take pictures with him. And, like, every single person there is, like, freaking out, like, over this guy, like, obsessed with this guy. And all of us are like, I have no clue who this is. Like, maybe he's like a local legend, right? Like, we don't know who this guy is. So then we're like, so now we're spitballing guesses, like, who is this guy? And my one coach says, he kind of looks like the guy from Grandma's Boy. And we, like, kind of laugh about it. And then we're
like Nick Swartzen?
No.
Okay. Like the main guy? Okay.
I've never seen the movie, so I don't know.
Okay.
But that's what he says. So we're like, yeah, whatever. And we're like spitballing guesses. And then, so yeah, now everybody's lining up to take pictures with him. And people are like taking pictures, taking shots of him, like yelling stuff out. Like, needle dick is one of the big things that they're yelling. So I'm, like, joking around. I'm like, just Google needle dick. Like, you know what I mean? We're just, you know, just joshing with each other. And turns out, it was Pete Dante.
What?
It was fucking Pete Dante. That's who it was.
I can't believe you didn't recognize him right away.
No.
I guess I kind of, but that.
I got a picture with him.
Do you have it on your
phone?
Oh,
yeah. Sure. I got to tell the rest of the story.
Okay, then show it to me.
So finally, we don't. Okay, but we're like, dude, like, I think that is Pete Dante. Like, I think you were right. Like, I think that's the guy. You know what I mean? Blah, blah, blah. So our one coach doesn't know who Pete Dante is, goes to look him up, and he's like, it can't be Pete Dante. This says Pete Dante got arrested 3 days ago in L.A. for threatening to kill his neighbor. And we're like, no, but that's totally fucking Pete Dante. Like, that is Pete Dante. And he's like, so now we're looking. It's like, yeah, he definitely was, like, within the week was arrested for trying to kill his neighbor. But, like, that's also Pete Dante. So everybody's talking to him. So we're, like, joking around now. We're like, yo, we should get him to come to our locker room tomorrow for our game and give a speech, right? So they're like, somebody's got to talk to him. And now our coach that was like, stop paying attention to that guy. Who cares who he is totally engaged. He's like, somebody's got to get Pete Dante over here. Like, we got to get a picture. So I'm like, fuck it. So I go over. I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, I go to like give him a hand, like a handshake, high five, whatever. He brings me in for a hug and he's hugging me, holding me, tickling my ear, saying, I love you, man. Pete Dante is doing this to me.
What?
And so we start talking. He's like, he's got us cracking up. He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm doing a we're like, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. He's like, I'm doing a show tomorrow night in front of like 15,000 people. He's like buzzing. And he's, you know, getting after it. Like, he's partying. So he buys us a round of beers. We're like shooting the shit with Pete Dante. It was a riot. Yeah, I'll show you the picture.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Right?
I can't believe that, man. Jeez. I'm jealous. That's awesome.
Yeah, how many pictures do you have with Pete Dante?
Zero, Matthew. I think you know that. Oh, that's cool. Man.
There's a couple different ones. You can slide.
Yo, what? He looks like he's having a blast.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he was definitely having a night.
Oh, you got like one of those. Oh, my God, what? This one is like a live photo.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And he just like, he looks normal and then he starts screaming at you guys.
Oh,
yeah.
He was.
We'll have to post one of these on Instagram.
He was, what are you looking at? My Pete Dante?
You got like six pictures with it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He was having a ball. Ripping tequila shots.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So I don't know what movie Needle Dick is from, but he must.
That's from one of the Sandler ones, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, he's in a bunch of Sandler ones.
Oh, yeah, of course. All but Sandler. That's from, like, that might be from.
It sounds very familiar.
That might be from Waterboy, I think, actually.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah.
100% is from Waterboy.
Yeah. Man, that's so cool. Yeah. Pete Dante is a guy that, like. He does, like, obviously he's going a little nuts there, so he's very approachable.
Yeah.
But, like, that's a guy. Oh,
oh
man.
Was,
I would love to go see that guy.
He was exactly how he is in movies.
Yeah.
Like, we were, like, people would ask him questions. He'd be like, nah, man, I don't want to talk about that. He's like, I love all you guys. Bring it in and just give you a hug. And then he'd be mid-hugging you, and all of a sudden he'd, like, turn around and start screaming across the bar, like, pointing at the guy. Like, I fucking love that guy. Like, going crazy. It was like, wow, this is...
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I hope Pete Dante gets the help he needs.
Yeah, well, he was recently arrested. No, yeah. He looked like he wasn't like... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's definitely...
But you know what? I mean, at the same time, good for him.
If he smokes a lot of weed, he said.
I believe it. I mean, yeah. He doesn't in, like, his characters in the movies always do. And also, like, you can look at him and tell that. Man, that's so cool. That's... Man...
Yeah,
I'm jealous. I can't believe that. I really wish
he like gave me a very intimate hug.
Yeah, he tickled your ear.
Not, but like he grabbed like the back of my head. Yeah. You know what I mean? In the hug, like it was like he really brought me in, and he had like had a few words for me in there. Like was it in mid conversation while giving me like a really deep big hug?
Do you want to share what he told
you? I don't
remember.
Like
magic?
It was just like okay. No, it was just like. But I was honestly a little nervous when he brought me in for the hug. I was like,
oh, yeah.
I hope he doesn't, like, smell or something, you know?
Yeah, that would be one of my main concerns as well.
You know, he's a regular smelling guy.
Man, that's the kind of, like, famous guy
and
that I'd really want to
always
meet.
Does this with his hair. Like, he pulls at it.
It's strange.
I don't know why.
Drugs?
Probably.
It's probably drug hair. I mean, I hope not. I hope he's just having a good time, but that sounds pretty intense.
He did threaten to kill his neighbor.
Yeah, apparently. Allegedly. Well, if he got arrested for it.
Like, that's the thing. If you Google Pete Dante right now.
First thing that comes
everything up. Everything that comes
up. Not anymore. Now it's going to come up. Pete Dante and Matt Canada.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pete Dante and Matt Canada partner up to kill his neighbor.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He did have a suitcase with him kind of thing, too. Maybe
he had a suitcase with him?
Yeah, in the restaurant. Like a little bag, duffel.
That's interesting.
Betry's a pretty rich guy, though.
Well,
he's in a lot of movies.
He is in a lot of movies. There's a weird kind of wealth I feel like you get when you're Pete Dante where you're not like super.
You're not like
you don't
rich
have a,
compared to
yeah.
the people that you're in movies with,
sure.
but you're like regular people rich.
Right, definitely yes. regular people rich. So
and he's still, I think he does like, stand-up comedy. I think that's what his show is.
Which?
He's at 15,000. That's a lot of
there's no way that's true. 15,000 people?
No, he was like buzzing. Maybe he also said something about playing music, though. So maybe he does some music, too.
All right.
It was hard to follow. But he was definitely doing a show
yeah.
on Saturday night in the Pittsburgh area.
That's cool. I can't remember what I was about to say about him. Oh, but like, you know, but when you're a Pete Dante type character, what he sounds like, you have all that money so that you can afford to buy everybody in the restaurant all those drinks and stuff,
yeah.
and it's a lot of fun. But that kind of puts you in a position where, like, that's probably
the majority of your spending.
Kind of. Like, that's what stops you from being, like, very, very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's...
He looked comfortable.
Yeah, but still.
His appearance. Like, he was just wearing...
Yeah, I don't think anybody could bother that guy,
no.
is what it sounds like.
I also have one other thing that I wanted to bring up,
mm-hmm.
outside of Pete Dante, which I thought, you know, that was my story. Remember I told you
that
story?
Yeah, I knew. I could tell.
That was my story. I was at the... Did we talk about bowling a couple weeks ago?
No, I remember you wanted to, but then we forgot about it.
So, I've been bowling now twice in, like, the past month. And I was never really a big bowler. Like, I was never very good at bowling. I'm heating up, I'll say. You know, I'm bowling consistently over 100.
Okay.
That's
a big,
yeah.
you know, stepping stone.
You're
for,
in the game.
Yeah.
yeah, you're always in the game because, you know, it could go either way. But, this I wish I had a picture of. So, two Fridays ago, I'm in the bowling alley, midnight bowling. It's like 12:30 at night. And some of the non-midnight bowling people were like just shuffling out, you know what I mean? And there is a group of people walking out of the bowling alley, very serious-looking bowlers. They had like, you know, their own bags and their own with their balls and their shoes and stuff. This dude that was leading this pack of serious bowlers was walking out of the bowling alley with a legitimate, like, chihuahua standing on his shoulders. So his head was, like, a little forward like this, and the dog was front legs here, back legs here, like, body on the back of his head, standing as this dude is walking with his bowling bag out of the bowling alley with a whole posse behind him. Nobody has ever been that cool in the history of the world.
Definitely not bowling.
This, have you ever seen, can you picture what I'm saying? I feel like you're not reacting how I would expect you to react. Like, there's a dog
yeah.
standing on this man's shoulders as he's walking out of a bowling alley.
I understand that that's quite the sight and that I'm not reacting
you're
the
not
way
at
you
all.
Want
like
to.
But, you're like, oh, yeah, that's just another Friday at Tonawanda Lane, man.
I mean, kind of.
No!
Listen to what you're saying, though. Does it really sound that incredible?
Oh, my. Andrew, the amount of, like, skill and practice that it must take to figure out that you can walk around with your dog standing on your shoulders. It wasn't, like, sitting. It was standing. You know, like, I don't know why this is not a big deal to you.
It was standing. It was up on its legs.
It was, yes. It was not sitting. It was standing. Four legs.
Okay.
Two on each shoulder.
Yeah.
That is a talented-ass dog, one.
Well, it's, I mean, if you have a dog that little, like...
No!
It corrodes, you know, probably since it was a puppy, it was, like, crawling around back there and then get up with it. And, like, if you're up, like, if you're walking and the dog is elevated like that, chances are he might not, like, drop down. He might just kind of realize, like, okay, I gotta hang up here for a little bit. But obviously, there's definitely an amount of trust that they had built up at that point, but a man walking out of a bowling alley with a dog standing, not sitting.
Yeah, not resting on his
shoulders. Standing on his shoulders.
You're not picturing, like, how crazy this looks. I'm telling you.
I am. You're going to Google. It's not. You can't. You can't Google a memory.
I just want to try to, like.
Find something close?
Find an image that, like, resembles.
Okay. Give it a shot.
See, this is. Yeah. Oh, this is a video. It was like this, though. I don't think the video is going to play. Hopefully not.
That's okay.
But that's what it looked like. Like,
yeah, a dog standing. So for the people at home, imagine a dog standing, not sitting on shoulders.
I feel like a lot of people are imagining like this. Like you've got a dog thrown over your shoulders.
What? No, because you said it was a chihuahua.
Well, I was just, it wasn't, I don't know if it was a chihuahua. It was a small dog.
Okay, yeah. But about that size. People know. That's pretty good. We should recreate that. Who was that guy? Looked very familiar. That guy looked like somebody.
John Wilkes Booth.
Oh yeah, okay, that's it. John Wilkes Booth and his famous dog, Ulysses. Oh man,
chicken and a gun. What have you been up to?
Well,
you
I
got
can't.
Any cool stories?
No, zero. Loser. You get. You're out here meeting Peter Dante, and I am just sitting around waiting for Seinfeld to come on Netflix.
It's coming on Netflix
October 1st.
Huge.
What?
That's all of it.
The whole show, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's such a good, like, fall asleep show. That's my new go-to.
I get, like, what you mean.
Once you've watched The Office, like, 4 to 8 times through, it's a great fall asleep show, but then they took it off. And then, like, NCIS, for example, was a great fall asleep show.
Still is an excellent fall asleep show.
But once you've seen all of them, you know, you got to give yourself some time
right
before you can, you know, go back into it. It's like when I watched Criminal Minds, like I watched all of it. And then I couldn't just put an episode on because I'd be like, I know what happens. I can't, like, you know, pay attention while I fall asleep.
Yeah, kind of thing. I know what
it doesn't
you mean.
Distract your brain enough because you already know what's happening.
Yeah.
Seinfeld is a great fall asleep show.
Well, I think that is a good call. I just want to make it clear. I mean, I think that everybody should watch the episodes.
No, yes.
But especially, like,
well, to me,
if you've seen them,
yeah,
which we've seen a lot of them, obviously, yeah, then it is a really good fall asleep show. I don't know if I'd ever fall asleep to it.
No,
but I know exactly
what
you mean.
I'm saying, like, you're ready for bed, hop in bed, you put on Seinfeld, you watch 2, maybe 3 episodes, because there's 23 minutes, right? They're not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you watch 2, maybe 3 episodes, and then during that 3rd, maybe 4th episode, you just, like, fall asleep.
Yeah, conk out.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny, though.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I love that show. It's so much better than Friends. It drives me crazy.
I don't know why you're comparing those two shows.
Well, because they kind of go hand in hand. They were on at the same time, and they were both a part of NBC's
sitcom.
What was it with Thursday must-watch TV on Thursday nights? It was like Friends, and then they would always put some show, some like new show that they were trying to get people to watch in between Friends and Seinfeld. None of them really worked, but those two shows,
yeah,
excellent.
Great.
I'm so glad it's coming on.
Wait, you're saying Friends is great?
No, Seinfeld.
Oh, you said those two shows, excellent.
Oh, well, that's not what I meant.
Take that back.
I mean, it was a misstep. I'd never...
Speaking of shows on Netflix, have you seen that new show, Squid Games?
What? No.
You don't know what this show is?
No, I don't know what Squid Games is. Big sigh for Squid Games.
It's fucking... So, the idea behind the show sounded super fucking cool. Like, I saw something on the internet about it. I was like, I have to go watch this show. And I went to watch it, and it's originally a Korean show. So the entire thing is dubbed. So at first I was like, I watched like the first 2 minutes. I was like, no, like not for me right now. But then I was like, you know what? The idea behind this show is so cool. I have to go in and watch it. And I'm through 3 episodes now and it is fucking so good.
Really?
It would be so much better if it was like, because the dubbing is so bad.
Yeah, dubbing's like, tough.
They,
especially English to Korean.
They just pick, like, no, it's...
Or from.
My problem is they're like, oh, we need somebody to use the voice of a, like, 40-year-old Korean man. Let's find a 13-year-old Irish kid. It's like, this doesn't sound, you know what I mean? Like, oh shit.
It's all right.
Like, it just doesn't sound right when you're watching it. So you have to kind of, honestly, I'm subtitles on the whole time. I you know, you have to kind of make the voices in your head, you know?
Yeah. Do a little active reading.
But the show, so you've never heard of it, I'll give you the back. And I don't know. I'm only 3 episodes mm-hmm. in. But pretty much there's one guy who kind of is the main character. There's like 3 or 4 other like,
sure, like heavy, the way TV like shows work.
Roles, yeah. But it starts out following like his kind of life, and pretty much the basis of it is somehow this undisclosed like organization goes around all of like Korea or some, I don't know exactly where, and rounds up 465 of like the biggest like kind of like degenerate like gambler type people, down on their luck type people that are in huge amounts of debt with like banks, with loan sharks, with, you know what I mean, whose kind of lives are never getting better because they're in so much debt and they're just falling apart, blah blah blah. So they gather them up and they, you know, kind of bring them to an undisclosed location and they make them play games, like children's games. And if you win the game, and they make them sign all this paperwork, it's very vague, like they don't tell them anything. It's just all these guys in masks and they're just like, if you complete the game, like you stay, there's six. If you lose the game, like you are eliminated, there's 6 games. If you finish them all, there's this huge sum of prize money. It's like 25 billion won, which I don't know how much money, maybe 45, whatever. It's like a lot of money. But what they don't tell them is that by eliminated, they mean killed. So like the first game they play, a baby spoiler here, but this is, I'll just give this one, is like, because they don't know what's going on, they bring them into this like giant kind of outdoor gym with walls up and they make them play red light, green light. And they have 5 minutes to get to the finish line in red light, green light. If you move, and I'm not talking like you don't stop fast enough, like if you move your arm during a red light, boom, you get shot in the face.
Wow.
So what happens is they're like red light, green light, like go on green, stop on red. If you break the rules, you'll be eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
So green light, they all start going. Red light, like the first person like moves and gets shot, and half the people panic, so they all start running. So they just fucking boom 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 boom. So after the first game, like 240 people were eliminated.
Murdered. Yeah.
So then they're down to like 200, and then it progressively goes on from there, but like all these people are kind of in such shitty situation, and you can't. There's like a big part of this that I would, mm-hmm. Can I tell? You want me to know, or do you want me to explain?
Yeah, I don't care.
So that's kind of like the first episode, and then so everybody's like freaking out, and they're like let us go home, and they're like, no, you signed the paperwork saying like you can't leave until the games are over. And then this one smart dude who's just like down on his luck bad because he like tried to do some big investment thing, it didn't work out, he lost a ton of money, and then he like bet on himself and put like his mom's business up for collateral, so he's like, yeah, he's fucked pretty much. So he's a super smart guy, so he's like, that's not true, like clause number 3 was if every single person if the majority of the people in the games vote to end the games end. And then if the games end without completion, the people that died, the money that's already in the pot gets sent to the families of the people that died. So they initially vote to end the games, like, after the first game. But they tell the people, like, and it was the vote, there's 201 people left after the first game, and the vote came down to the last person. It was 100 to 100, and he voted no. But they told the people, like, you guys can end the game, but you're, the world outside is, for you guys, is worse than it is in here. You know what I mean?
Because they're being all murdered.
Yes. So yeah, they're like, at any point, if the majority wants to resume game, we can resume game. So then they obviously, the game, like, they literally, like, send them home. They, like, just drop them off in the middle of the street, like, tied up. But now people are real curious. Like, a couple people try to go to the police. The police are like, yeah, fuck off. And then they end up going. But then they're all like, fuck, their lives are all miserable. Like, they get home and it seems like everything's just going wrong. So they all decide to go back. And then, And then so it gets, there's another game. I've only seen two games so far. It's a crazy show.
Yeah, that sounds pretty brutal. I will say, if somebody, though, approaches you and uses the word eliminated, that's always going to mean
murdered. No, but that's, so Alex, so there, I left out details at first because I didn't know if I was going to go spoiler mode. But what happens is, like, well, they only show it happening to the main character, but he's a degenerate gambler. Like, he has, you know, he's tons in debt. His wife and his kid left him, blah, 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 all this crazy stuff. And so the way that they get him is, this guy approaches him in a subway and is like, hey, you want to play this game? Some, like, Korean gambling game of some sort where you throw a square of paper at another square of paper and you have to flip their square over. It's very weird to follow. Probably makes a ton of sense if you know what it is, but I had no clue what it was. And he says, he'll play him for like 100,000 won. And he's like, well, I don't have 100,000 won. And he's like, well, how about this? I'll pay you 100,000 won every time you win. Every time I win, I get to slap you in the face.
That is some, like, honestly, that sounds to me like the kind of bets, like, NBA players make. Like, guys that just have an insane amount of money.
This is on a, like, waiting for a subway train.
Okay. So that's crazy.
He eventually, he loses like 60 times. Like, he gets slapped in the face so many times. And then finally he wins and he's like, I won. Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you know, I've got a lot more games like this. Here's my card. And it's like this super, like, sketchy looking card. It's got like a triangle, a circle, and a square on it. And another back, just a phone number. And you call the number and they're like, do you want to play? And it's like, yeah, I'll pick you up here. So when they get picked up, they get in this van. They gas him to knock him out. And you don't find this out at first, but you find it out once they go back.
Yeah.
Because, like, then there's some people that are kind of on to it, you know?
Yeah.
But they put him on, they gas him in the van, they load these vans onto, like, this cargo ship, and they take it to some, like, super remote island. And so that's where the games are being played.
And what is it called? Squid Games? All right. Squid Games. Not bad. Yeah, I don't know if I'll watch that, but yeah, the games.
It's a cool show.
Yeah, it does sound pretty cool.
Spoiler alert, but, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Those, not really, though. It's only the first, like, 2.5 episodes. There's, like, so, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
I don't know anything yet. Yeah.
That all those guys, like, decided to opt back into the game. You got to do that, though, or else you don't have a brain tumor.
So he's like this old guy. He's number one. So he was.
So they all have
the
numbers?
Main character is number 456. Cool. He was the very, you know, that's how many people there were. He becomes friends with number one, who's like this old guy who's hysterical, and he's got like a brain tumor. So he's like, I don't give a fuck, dude. Like, we're doing this shit. But at the time, he voted no because,
right,
for everybody
else.
Yeah,
yeah. What a good guy.
But then he was like, I am going back. Because they run into each other on the street before they go back. He's like, number 456? He's like, number one. Yeah. And the smart guy's number 211, I think. But the smart guy,
number.
Fucking, he's a little... There's some shady shit that's starting to go on.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what it is yet. I haven't figured it all out.
Oh, jeez. Are you ready to go to the Bills game this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
I think it's going to be like pretty nice. I haven't been since we went all those years ago
to the Miami
Christmas game. Man, my only memory from that game, well, I have two actually. One's good, but the one, all I remember is like the way that game ended. We were all, because they were, it looked like they were going to win. So I'm literally jumping up on the stands yelling, "We're going to win, we're going to win." And then we lost. And I was like, that is classic.
You're an asshole.
I was
I
so.
I don't remember. I would have punched you in the face.
Oh, I was so excited. I was bang, literally like, bang, we're going to win in against Miami on Christmas Eve. And it was a lot. Going to that game was a lot of fun. Interesting thing about that game, I don't know if you remember, but there was the big, they burned the Christmas tree in the lot. Years later, I come to find out, guess who burned that Christmas tree? Jake and Ben from the Scheme and Dream podcast. That was them.
Was that before you knew them, though?
Yeah, that was maybe a year before. It was maybe a year before I met Jake.
It would have been my sophomore year of college, no? Or was it my freshman year of college? Was it 2016?
I think it was your sophomore
year. Well, that would have been your third year at Fredonia. When did you meet Jake?
Yeah. Well, it would have been my second year at Fredonia, but my junior year.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, we were talking about the Bills one day, or we were thinking about maybe going to a game, and I was like, last time I was at a Bills game, Christmas tree on fire, and he was like, oh, yeah, that was Ben and I. And I was like, jeez, of course it was.
The fire truck came, remember?
A couple fire trucks came. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. I think this is, yeah, I'm excited to go, because the only games that I've gone to, it's been freezing, and now we're going in, like, prime fall weather.
It'll be cold, though.
Yeah, but I don't mind degrees. Cold.
No, yeah.
60 degrees, that's perfect, though, right? Like, that's what you want.
Yeah, I mean, but you're, you know.
Like, I'm not going to have to wear gloves is what I mean. I'm not going to have to wear, like, long johns.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's.
Probably.
That's
unless it
good
snows,
enough for
which
me.
It might.
If it does, I'll be pretty unhappy. We'll still have fun. We're going to win. We're going to win.
If you start yelling that.
I'm not going to
yell. Well, here's the thing.
That.
The Bills are 17-point favorites going into this game.
Awesome.
They're playing probably the worst football team one of the worst football teams in the NFL right now.
Houston? Is that who we're seeing?
Yeah, okay. Because Deshaun Watson is still not allowed to play because of his whole, you know,
is
massage
he the
thing.
Massage guy? Okay,
yeah. Big fan of masseuses, Deshaun Watson is. So Tyrod Taylor, former Buffalo Bill, was their backup starting quarterback. He is injured. So their quarterback now, I think his first name's David. Last name Mills. David Mills. He is not good at football.
Awesome.
Not very good at all.
Well, hopefully we'll get to see some cool plays then. I don't know. I'm just
really
jazzed about the whole thing.
Yeah, I want to see some interceptions. Like, yeah, I think it'll be a fun game to watch. I think that the Bills are going to, have their way with the Texans.
Which is awesome. That game last weekend was a lot of fun to watch, too.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. The Washington no-names.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I've only been to two Bills games.
In your life?
Yeah. And both were really cold. The one.
Wasn't the one with the Lumidus?
No, it was with Andrew DiRico.
Oh.
And so we went with his dad and his dad's friend. And I was freezing. And so this guy is like, here, drink some of this. And he pours me like a cup of chai tea. It was disgusting. It was terrible. And then obviously, you know, we saw people get this. We were like, I think we were in 7th grade, maybe 6th. And this woman came up to us and was like, you guys have any cigarettes? And we were like, no, we didn't. Oh. I was like, go get a ground dart like the rest of us, lady. Yeah. Look around you. It's a big parking lot. You can find one. Jeez.
Nothing like good old ground dart, Ferda.
Yeah. Oh, we got to make ground dart t-shirts for Scheming and Dreaming.
Right, they're
actually.
Big ground. Ben seems like a.
I think there's a clip you can check out on their YouTube page that's about ground darts. But
Ben seems like he'd rather smoke a ground dart than a real cigarette.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure, man. Great guy, I love him.
I am looking forward to it. I love the Buffalo Bills. Very passionate about the Buffalo Bills, and I'm excited. Gonna go with I'm excited for the group that we're going with too.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be rowdy. Gonna be a lot of Go Billsin' going on.
Yeah, a lot of Go Billsin', things of that nature. I also just planned two trips to Florida in November and January, and I'm already super anxious about it.
Why?
I don't get... Obviously, we're, like, flying down there.
Yeah.
I don't get, like, anxious about flying, but I get really anxious at airports. Not for, like, 9/11 reasons, just because...
Airports are way too high stress.
Well, the
everybody there is stressed.
That's the thing, is...
There's a lot of low frequencies going on.
I really think that there's probably no... Aside from maybe North Korea, and it's pretty close, there's probably no worse depiction of people than people at the airport.
You know what's funny? I actually saw somebody tweet today, somebody I know tweet, like, I never get more mad at, like, humans as a society than when I get off of an airplane and, like, look around. It's like it makes me want to fight people.
Everything about... I don't mind when I'm actually sitting in the seat. Everything up to that point... I feel like I'm about to explode. Let me say something right now. Genocide is a word that is pretty bad, right?
Yeah, not good. You should watch. You might be put on a list pretty soon if you're talking about airports and genocide in the same sentence.
But people that stand up and wait by like the airplane door before they're boarding group is called, or try to cut people to get on the plane. Okay, maybe not the worst idea.
Well, the thing is too is that, like, you know where you're sitting,
and even if you don't, you're gonna get on the plane. You're going to get on the plane. Yeah, but if you're right there, if you're in the fucking gate, this Matthew, I cannot tell you how mad I get at these people, because they're all... I hope they're listening. No, look, this is intense, but you're all trash. I hate your guts. You have to...
Can you see me? I can see you.
Can I see you?
No, like my eye. Like, can you see my eye? Like, I can see you through.
Yeah.
Can you see me through the...
Yes. Yeah, you probably need Ritalin or something. If we didn't know that before, I think that probably put it over the edge.
I will say that I should probably, like, figure out what goes on in my brain. I think that, you know, I always thought that I had, this is a huge self-diagnosis that the internet has given me, mostly TikTok, but I always thought, like, I definitely had, like, some form of ADHD. I think it's actually leans more towards having, like, a form of OCD. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
That's all I got.
Well, I think that's a good point. I think because the thing about OCD is a lot of people think of that as, like, just like cleaning and organizing and stuff,
which I'm not a big doer of.
Right. And that is part of how OCD manifests itself in a lot of people, but probably on an even larger scale, it's different kinds of compulsions.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah.
I put that together myself, which is why I said it like, oh, that's clicking for me now.
Oh, compulsions. Yeah, it's called obsessive compulsion disorder.
Yeah, got it.
Which is,
so I think a lot of people probably misdiagnosed
themselves. I'd probably feel a lot better sometimes if I, you know, corrected those things. But what are you going to do?
Yeah, I don't know.
Here we are.
But man, the other thing about airports is, like, when I'm traveling through an airport, I'm all about efficiency. I don't like...
Do you go into low energy mode?
I have to. Okay. I have to. That's the only way I can function when I'm in lines, because everybody else standing in that line... And look, they're probably not doing anything wrong. This is no detriment to them. I know it's my problem. I hate every one of them.
See, I expend a tremendous amount of energy waiting in lines.
To try and keep yourself busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm buzzing. I'm spinning in circles. I'm touching everything that could be touched, saying everything that could be said. Like, I'm doing it all.
If anybody talks to me or touches me...
I know.
I can't... I mean, I obviously don't like that normally, but in the airport line, because I'm so... Stop doing that.
Andrew's trying to play footsie with me.
No, I'm not. I would never do that. Yeah, that would be the last thing that I would do. I just lose it. And then, man, when I was in Atlanta a couple months ago, that airport, it's the biggest airport in the world.
That airport's a lot to take in.
And so, obviously, like, I was anxious that whole weekend thinking about, like,
being in that airport
again to, like, go through security and stuff. And when we get there, there's this guy, and he is, like, in his 60s, and he is, like, one of those, like, just kind of super loose cannon old people. And he is darting around, and he's just screaming, "Spirit Airlines! Spirit Airlines!" And he's going up to every person, airport worker, and just, because he had to, pulling his mask down and going, "Spirit Airlines! Spirit Airlines! Is this the line for Spirit Airlines?" And he's like, "Yeah, man, it's the line for everybody." And so he's like, "Can I get over there?" Because obviously the line is like hours long. So he's like, "I'm going to miss my flight. Can I get over there?" And they're like, "No, man, you should have gotten here earlier." He's like, "My flight's in an hour. And he's got like this puffy vest on, like Marty McFly style. He's got his jeans tucked into his socks. He's got high top chucks on his feet.
And it wasn't Marty McFly?
It wasn't Marty
McFly. Are you
McFly.
Sure this wasn't Back to the Future 4?
It could have
Marty
been.
Marty McFly travels to 2021.
And this guy was like, so we get to a certain point where there's not a lot of airport workers, and the line, it's so crazy. The line like divides into four separate lines, and this guy is just darting back and forth, going between lines and stuff, and I'm like, as long as that guy gets away from me, I don't give a fuck. So then we catch up to him, and he's now made his way into the like wheelchair line. And he's screaming at the woman who's in charge of this line, "Lady, hey lady, I'm gonna have a heart attack. I need a wheelchair." And then he like sits down on the floor and he's just screaming at this woman, and she's like, "Dude, you cut all these people. Like, there's nothing I can do." She's getting on the walkie-talkie. She's like, "Yeah, he's yelling at me." Because all the people that work there, they deal with this. Yeah. Like, shout out to airport workers, man. They have to, like,
there's a reason that they're all so fucking mean to you all the time.
Because they're dealing with the worst people.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like,
definitely.
People, every single day, you're seeing people at their worst. And, like, oh, man, I just hate it so much. And also, did I tell you about those people I saw get arrested at the airport in Rochester?
No.
This was from Atlanta, I think.
You got
it
back
might have been
from Atlanta?
Florida. Yeah, when we were getting back
from
Atlanta.
You got
from
back
Atlanta,
from somewhere.
Got back from somewhere, landed in Rochester, and we were sitting in the back of the plane. So, you know, you got to wait a while. And the line to get off the plane had stopped, though, for a little bit. And we're like, "Oh, that's weird. You know, somebody with their bags, maybe a wheelchair, whatever." Get off the plane, and there's a flight attendant talking to one of the passengers. And she goes, "Don't worry. The cops are on their way. Going to be taken care of." She's like, "Huh. Something must have happened." Walk down the hall to kind of like the main terminal area. And there is this guy, this fat fucking dude in pajama pants, whose wife was even fatter than he was. And they are just screaming the N-word. They're like, "That N-word pushed me." And so there's these two cops like walking up to him like, "We have to take you this way. Like, we have to take you this way." He's like, "You're treating me like a black person and all this stuff. Like, this is just because I'm white." Like, losing it. And then his wife is like, obviously comes up and starts yelling at the police officer like a fucking lunatic. And they just like took him away. And the janitor and I are standing there like, what the fuck are these guys doing? So I guess what had happened is, like, on our flight getting off the plane, this guy who I clocked these people the second we walked on the plane. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's probably fine, because I always clock people on planes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If anything goes wrong, stay away from these people, but nothing's going to go wrong, so yeah. It's fine. Turns out something did go wrong. They were, like, getting off the plane, and they pushed this woman and, like, called her the N-word. And you can't do that.
No, you definitely are not supposed to do that.
And you shouldn't do
yeah,
that.
No, you definitely should not do that.
That's fucked up.
We're anti doing that podcast.
We're an anti that particular activity. Yeah. We're an anti podcast for that. And they got taken away. And like, however you're picturing people, is these people is exactly what they looked like. Walmart pajama pants, yeah. Fucking tap out shirts. Dude, the wife was wearing a Cookie Monster. Mm-hmm. Like a
Dude, we're not stereotyping,
people.
But we're stereotyping.
But like that's what they looked like, yeah. And they did the thing. And that's also something that drives me crazy is like, do you not realize that like this is what people think you're going to do?
Yeah.
And then you
We saw this coming from a mile away, and you just proved us right.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
Yeah.
I was like, thank God those people are getting arrested because like something bad needs to happen to them.
Yeah.
It was brutal. So in conclusion, I fucking hate airports. I'm already anxious about going in November.
What? You're just going?
Yeah, we're just going down for a little while.
Nice.
And then we're going to go to Disney in January because it's like the 50th anniversary thing. So
that's cool.
We want to go see that. You can come if you want. And
I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I know. That's why I offered because I knew you wouldn't.
I do wish. Would be fun.
But also, I want to go back to Galaxy's Edge so bad. Because I want to do more shopping. Like, I was just so overwhelmed by all the cool stuff. And I just wanted to get on the two rides so bad that I did not. But, like, you know, because
Randy.
Randy, shout out to Randy.
So we were doing too much. We were too busy doing
stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Stuff.
So we couldn't, like.
Yeah.
But, like, I might buy a pair of Jedi robes.
You should. Said that you should when we were there the first time.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Just because they're.
But, like, you know. I want to buy those. I want to buy. They have, like, X-Wing helmets.
Are you
going to
make. You
helmets.
Should make your own droid.
I want to do all that.
You
want to
do it all?
Like, I know it's going to be a long wait. I don't care. I don't even care about going on the rides because the rides are sick.
Yeah, but we did them.
And it's still cool. But my focus this time is, like, I want to spend money.
I do think the cool thing about those rides, is that, you can go on them multiple times and you'll get a lot of different experiences.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, that one is pretty cool.
The Millennium Falcon one. That ride is cool. But
it's very, like.
The thing about that ride is if you go, if you go in a group or not, like, to get the full experience of that ride, you need to go on it multiple times. And that's really tough to do because the lines are so fucking long because it's such a cool ride.
Yeah,
because
you have to try out different spots.
Yeah, because if you don't know how that ride works, it's really crazy. You have two people piloting,
pilots.
And then you have two people
working
the guns, and you have two people who are engineers.
Yeah.
So if you get seated in an engineer spot, then that's your ride. You're the engineer for that ride, and then you get off. You don't get to pilot it, which, you know,
you,
for me.
By the way, Andrew is not a good pilot. He wasn't a bad engineer.
I was actually a fantastic engineer because the ship remained at 100%. Good.
You no, but that could also be
integrity. The integrity of the ship remained at
100%. What else that could be from? Good piloting. I've never engineered, so I don't know.
Not that time.
No, I don't know what it's like to be an engineer, but I was a damn good pilot, and I was a great gun
worker.
Yeah,
That's the one thing I didn't get to do was gun stuff.
A lot of spamming buttons as a gun person.
Yeah, that's part of it, but it's such a cool
ride. Apparently,
you
can just hold the button. Like, and it'll, you know what I mean? It's fully automatic. It's not as fun.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's part of, like, even when you're doing the.
Like, watch how fast is it, right?
Nailed it. Even when you're doing, like, the.
That was quick.
Engineering stuff.
Ow.
Even when you're doing. It hits you in the inside
no,
of
no,
your
no.
mouth?
Different. It was different. Two different things there.
Okay, well, it was on camera. You can't.
No, it didn't hit my tooth. I push it, and then I was like, ooh, weird, like, little uncomfortable, you know, like, pain in my tooth.
Yeah. But even if you're an engineer doing that ride, like, you have to put yourself into it a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? And
no,
then, like, you have, it's where the fun comes from.
Yeah.
You gotta go for it.
I think that, man, I really miss Disney World.
Yeah.
I am 100%, I know I've said this before, a believer that it is the happiest place on earth.
Yeah.
Like, if you just lived there, your life would be significantly better.
Golden Oaks. That's like the you can like buy houses on a property in Golden Oaks. They start at $1 million, $1.2 million, I think.
Nice. So I'm not living there, But
not yet.
Subscribe to our.
Where do you think the grocery store is? You have to go out of Disney.
No, they have
to get
grocery
groceries.
Store.
Where?
They got all sorts of shit, man.
On Disney. Oh, like, yeah. On Disney grounds, they have a Publix.
Probably.
That is probably true.
I was going to say 100% they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that for certain, but they 100% do. So let me pose this as a question
okay.
to you. What if Disney World had its own airport? Would you be more willing to go to that airport?
Yeah, I guess so. But
is there wind chimes going on? Or is that
I think somebody's
brain?
Phone was going off. Oh. But... I don't know, because you get a mix of people at Disney. So I just think that I really don't think it's where the airport is located. It's just airports in general bring out the worst in people.
Yeah, fair.
That's all it is. Also, P.S., I say this during every intro, I hate grocery stores. Grocery stores are stupid.
Yeah.
Because
shout
also,
out Instacart.
Yeah, shout out to Instacart. Hit the link in the show description. Get yourself that deal. Yeah, grocery stores, like, people in there, dude. They don't even look at you.
I don't like grocery stores. No, I used to hate grocery stores because I felt a lot of pressure in the sense of, like, at a point in my life, I felt like that if I was going into the grocery store, I needed to look like I knew what I was doing.
I still feel that
so
way.
So then if
That's
you,
a good
like,
point.
Kind of like, oh, shit, I don't know where this is, and you're, like, looking for something. Like, people that are grocery store regulars think you're the scum of the earth. They don't actually, but in your mind, you're like, these people think I'm such a shitty person because I don't know where this item is. Like, if I was a decent human being, I would know it, but I don't, so people think I'm shitty. But that's not actually what they think, because once you go to a grocery store for long enough, you just ooze confidence when you walk into a grocery store. You're like, I don't know where fucking anything is. I'm going to take 14 laps around this place. I'm going to be here for 2.5 hours. And I'm going to buy so many fucking groceries. That's it.
That's an excellent point, though. Like, a way to describe going to the grocery store. Because you do feel like
there's a lot of pressure.
If a grocery store feels like a very judgmental place.
Oh, people are judging you. But they're not, though, is the thing. Is there actually not?
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like
Yeah, again, because I think that the majority of people all feel that way. So they're all just so worried about their own deal that they're really not caring about everybody else. But, God,
but,
yeah, grocery store's bad,
but
too.
But it seems like they, you know, it seems like they're being judgmental. All right.
Yeah.
Who would win the week?
Here we go. Do you remember what it is? Phineas and Ferb.
Phineas and Ferb.
Versus Jimmy Neutron.
Jimmy Neutron.
Yep, you nailed it. Great job, Matthew. Phineas and Ferb versus Jimmy Neutron.
I already know who wins this fight.
I have a feeling I do as well, but I think there's a couple.
Can I try to bottle flip this?
Sure. Why not?
Maybe not.
Okay.
Okay, I'm done.
Two tries. Pretty good. Pretty close.
Yeah.
Three very innovative children. You know what's weird is that Jimmy Neutron, obviously, he's Jimmy Neutron, boy genius.
Yes.
Like, that's how he's built.
He has brain blasts.
He has brain blasts. Shout out to brain blasts, by the way. Love a good brain blast.
Never had one.
Okay, I can see that. But Phineas and Ferb are also geniuses.
Well,
they're engineering prodigies.
I have two questions.
Okay.
The first one is not a shot. I swear by all means it's not a shot. It's a real question. Ferb is the one with the green hair, right?
Yeah.
I feel like Ferb kind of, and I don't know, this is not a shot, I'm asking if this is true. Does he ride Phineas's coattails a little bit? Is he more of a physical labor kind of guy? Or is that a notion that's incorrect?
Well, I mean, I feel like
he doesn't
talk
a ton. So,
no.
But is he involved in the ideas? I think he is. I think he does a lot of blueprints.
Let me tell you. My understanding of it is that Phineas is the idea man and does, I think they co-design things, and then Ferb does most of the building. But that I don't think that's a detriment
to
Ferb, though.
No, I agree.
Because he obviously has a really good understanding of how these things are going to fit together to make Phineas's idea come to light. They're so those are also both geniuses, but they're not treated like geniuses on their show.
Well, but so here's another thing, and I haven't watched Jimmy Neutron in a little while, but I remember the show. Mm-hmm. I feel like Jimmy Neutron and his pals kind of get caught in the act a lot of like whatever crazy cartoon scenario is going on, and Jimmy has to kind of use his brain to bail them out of it. Whereas Phineas and Ferb never, like, you say they don't get the recognition as geniuses. Yeah, it's because nobody knows what the fuck they're doing.
Right.
They're building these, they're doing these extravagant, like, things, and then, like, they just, nobody even knows that it's happening.
That's a good point.
Because there's only 104 days in summer vacation.
And school comes along just to end it. But.
It's the annual problem of our generation. How do you spend those
104
days?
How do you, that is the. That is the question: is how do you spend those days?
And they you have to
find you have to find a good way to spend it. Frankenstein's brain.
Like maybe.
Jimmy, that kind of leads into something I wanted to bring up is that Jimmy Neutron's inventions are just that, right? They're completely new inventions. Phineas and Ferb, it's a lot of like, let's build a roller coaster, right? Jimmy Neutron is like, let's build a device that shoots lasers or like turns people into broccoli or something.
It's funny.
Hold on. You just have to let me get through my point.
And why are you wasting time? Get through your fucking point.
Because
then.
You obviously have a problem with it.
I don't. I just have something to say and now it's already too late.
Go back to it, Matthew. So Jimmy Neutron's creating these crazy inventions. But a lot of times they do go haywire, and that causes the problems. Seemingly everything Phineas and Ferb make works as they intend.
Yeah.
And it is only destroyed because of something unrelated, like something that's going on with Doofenshmirtz and Perry the Platypus, right? So Jimmy Neutron does more creative things, but they don't always work completely as he intends.
It's funny that you said... like building a roller coaster, because I'm pretty sure that only happens in one episode, but that's also the first thing that pops into my head.
Yeah.
I think like, what do Phineas and Ferb do? They build roller coasters.
Yeah. Yeah. I think most episodes
of
that show.
Is that just the first clip in the
I think that is actually the very first episode. I remember when that show premiered and they were like Phineas and Ferb premiering, and I had a friend over like, we got to watch the premiere of Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, for sure you do.
And that's like the first episode is they build a roller coaster, I think. Ease people into it before they get to the crazy stuff.
Yeah, and like the wind blows it away or something.
Something like I think, again, it's a Perry the Platypus thing, you know? It's that knob.
This knob?
Yeah, but it's all right.
They're not pretty tight.
Well, like I said, it's fine.
So back to the, you know, the whole fight portion of it. I think that this is a fight where obviously they both have unlimited resource practically, right? Because they're going to build.
Yeah, even without it, they seem to be able to work pretty well within their means, no matter what.
I just think that, I mean, I know Jimmy Neutron has brain blasts. And he
brain blasts?
Yeah.
Brain blasts?
Brain.
Moving on.
Yes. I know that he has brain blasts, but and they're more innovative, creative than, you know, like just finding out how to. But I mean, Phineas and Ferb are pretty damn creative.
100%. But Jimmy's ideas are like more sci-fi, and like if you are fighting
to
them,
roller coasters. Yeah, but what else do they do? What about Frankenstein? That's as sci-fi as it
that's
gets.
Only in the theme song, though. I'm not sure that's canon. The thing is, though, like, fighting-wise, I think that Phineas and Ferb's talents kind of lean towards the direction of a good defense, whereas Jimmy is all offense, and maybe he's got something that is going to go haywire, but if you get slapped with it, you're in pretty bad shape.
Yeah, but the best defense is good offense. Everybody knows that.
Yes, very true.
I think that given See, I think that Jimmy Neutron, yes, has all these great ideas and he's very creative, but sometimes he might, you know, go a little too extravagant, whereas Phineas and Ferb's ability to just like create, design, and construct things that just work all the time is gonna and it's two versus one. Yeah. I know the brain blast, but you got two versus one.
Well,
I appreciate everything that Jimmy Neutron has done for the world. Great guy, very intelligent. He's losing to Phineas and Ferb.
Well, let me say, let's talk about the brain blast for a second. Jimmy's,
I think he,
let me say this. Let me put it like this. Phineas and Ferb, perhaps the fact that all of their endeavors go so well could be seen as a detriment in this case when things start to go wrong. Because Jimmy Neutron is no stranger to adversity, and he's obviously an excellent problem solver.
See, but you're saying that things always go well for Phineas and Ferb because their designs always work, which is the case, but then they always get stuck in a pickle. Like, you know what I mean? Like, now they either, and their designs don't always work. Sometimes they have things go wrong and they have to figure out how to.
I've never seen a Phineas and Ferb.
They have to figure out how
to
virtually destroy whatever they just built because their mom's about to
be home or something like that. No, that's the whole point of the show is that they really don't care either way if their mom sees them or not. Which is why they're the only time their stuff gets destroyed is when a third party takes it down, be it natural or, like I said, usually Doofenshmirtz.
See, but I think that in itself right there is they definitely deal with adversity. The reason that I say that is because what would the point of the TV show be if they didn't deal with adversity? Well, you know what I mean? Like, there has to be something that goes wrong.
Well, I think a big part of it is just the fact that, like, they might get caught. But Phineas and Ferb don't care about that. Only the,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They're very the whole thing is like their sister wants them to get caught so that they get in trouble, but Phineas and Ferb are pretty oblivious to that whole thing. They're like, oh, we're just going to build a roller coaster, and that's it. So they don't actually care if their mom or dad sees it. It just happens that it always goes away.
Phineas and Ferb win this fight.
I don't know, man. I think Jimmy's got this one. I
2v1.
It's tough because Phineas and Ferb are, I feel like they're the favorites. Like, they are really kind of perfectionists in that way. And they're obviously, they're better at what they do than Jimmy Neutron is at what he does, I think.
But you think Jimmy Neutron can be so outgoingly creative with a brain blast that it'll overpower whatever, if it works.
Kind of,
it's a big if.
Yeah. Well,
also,
I think that
I think that Jimmy Neutron just has, like, epilepsy or something. Like, I think he just has seizures.
That's what his brain blasts are?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 100% true.
So if Phineas and Ferb just build a giant strobe light, Jimmy Neutron's fucking toast. Fight over.
I still think Jimmy takes it. He's like I said, he's obviously a really good problem solver. Even if his device does go haywire, he only needs one shot. And we really don't know how Phineas and Ferb are going to handle that adversity. We really don't know.
I think that's a stretch.
I think
they
will
don't
be
handle
fine.
Adversity. They do.
Well, but
they have a platypus as a pet, Andrew.
That's not adverse.
Well, it could be.
I would argue only rich kids have platypus pets.
How many people do you know with platypuses as pets?
Zero.
Okay, me too. That's adverse.
But, okay, so what? Not for them.
Might be.
No. I think that Jimmy takes it. Yeah. We'll lock it in.
Andrew's wrong.
No, I don't think I am this time around. I really don't. I think if we were to watch this play out, Jimmy is going to take it.
I think that individually, Phineas and Ferb are actually as smart as Jimmy Neutron. When it comes to...
Yeah, I agree with that.
So you've got a 2v1... People that we're saying are as smart as each other, two of them versus one of them, two of them that have proven that everything that they make works, one of them who has proven that almost everything he makes has like a giant flaw.
It does
have a
defect. But really, though, it's kind of like he makes a gun to, you know, turn people into yogurt.
And it accidentally... Well, no, he makes it to do something else and it accidentally turns them into yogurt.
No, usually it'll be like, okay, this thing worked, but then maybe, like, his teacher turns into yogurt, but then grows and becomes a yogurt monster.
Yeah. Okay.
So she still does get turned into yogurt, though.
Okay.
But so, locking in, one for Jimmy, one for Phineas and Ferb. Vote on that.
Vote on that on Friday on our Instagram. It will be out. Who would win of the week? Vote for Phineas and Ferb. Andrew, I just randomly hit a wall of, like, exhaustion.
Yeah, I see that in you.
Can you see that in me?
Yeah.
So, what do you got anything else?
No, nothing. Nothing important, really.
There is one thing that I was thinking about the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that Radioactive song?
By Imagine Dragons?
Imagine dragging these nuts across your face.
You fucking asshole. Fuck you. Oh, my God.
I didn't even have to ask him who was by. What a fucking idiot.
Because oh, my God. Fuck you. All right. Thanks for listening.
Andy, I love you.
I love you, too, I guess.
First, he doesn't give me a mint.
I didn't have any more.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to fall down.
You thought I was going to fall?
Yeah, what a fucking idiot. All right.
Let's get out of here. Nicely done.